Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Electric cars pose questions. Economists, oil men, say the cars won't decrease world's need for oil, by Bob Campbell. With 44% of the oil pumped in West Texas and the nation being used to make gasoline and ethanol, will the advent of electrically powered vehicles put a crimp in the energy industry? It's a complex scenario that'll play out on the world stage in coming decades. But Waco economist Ray Perriman and Odessa oilman Kirk Edwards say no. Electric cars are obviously going to grow in importance in the future, but for a variety of reasons, including charging infrastructure and time, range and battery disposal issues, they will not replace conventional vehicles at the pace that many analysts anticipate, said Perriman, who lives in Odessa. Obviously, greater penetration of electric cars will diminish the demand for gasoline. On the other hand, the primary incremental fuel for reliable electric power generation in the future is likely to be natural gas. Thus, the demand for the resources of the oil and gas industry will remain significant, Perriman said. In fact, the conversion of natural gas into electricity results in an energy loss of 55%. The increase in electric vehicles will thereby substantially increase the demand for natural gas. There are other technologies being developed, such as that used by Nacero, that will refine gasoline from natural gas and substantially reduce emissions in conventional vehicles. Perriman said electric cars can benefit the climate because the carbon emissions will occur at a single point, the power plant, rather than on the road, making capture more efficient. All that is to say that the petroleum sector will ultimately be a partner, not a problem, in dealing with climate issues, and it will be a vital part of the global energy complex for decades to come, he said. Edwards said electric cars like the Ford Mustang Mach-E, Tesla's Models 3, S, Y, and X, Mercedes-Benz EQS, Nissan Leaf, Volkswagen ID.4, and Chevrolet Bolt won't make much difference to the global oil and gas industry because the electric infrastructure is just not there in the undeveloped countries that are using a tremendous amount of oil. Referring to the need for the rare earth element neodymium to make the car's permanent magnets, Edwards said, here in the U.S., it will be interesting to see if electric cars can keep up their growth pace in light of the materials needed to make them. The People's Republic of China controls 90% of the world's supply of neodymium, which has increased in cost from $40.80 to $69.90 per kilogram this year, according to Lynas Rare Earths Limited of Mount Weld, Western Australia. Lastly, everyone needs to realize that even though it says electric car, those cars run on 30% natural gas, 30% coal, and or 30% nuclear power, as that is the breakdown of the generation sources in the United States, Edwards said. That percentage will not move very much in the next decade. The U.S. Energy Information Administration says that of the 6.6 billion barrels of oil consumed in the U.S. last year, 21% was used to make distillate fuels like heating oil, diesel fuel, and biomass-based diesel fuel, 6% for jet fuel, and 29% for 6,000 products such as waxes, lubricating oils, asphalt, liquefied natural gas, kerosene, and all plastics. According to the Rankin Energy Corps of Edmond, Oklahoma, other products made from petroleum include antiseptics, anesthetics, antihistamines, artificial limbs, soft contact lenses, heart valves, dentures, solvents, motor oil, bearing grease, ink, floor wax, linoleum, fertilizers, oil filters, ammonia, ballpoint pens, upholstery, sweaters, boats, insecticides, bicycle and motor vehicle tires, nail polish, fishing lures, perfumes, shoe polish, caulking, and petroleum jelly. Also cassettes, CDs, DVDs, CD and DVD players, transparent tape, food preservatives, curtains, golf balls, basketballs, football cleats, golf bags, soap, vitamin capsules, purses, shoes, cortisone deodorant, putty, dyes, pantyhose, sunglasses, parachutes, dishes, shaving cream, cold cream, toothpaste, detergents, tents, telephones, cameras, bandages, hair curlers, drinking cups, paintbrushes, crayons, movie film, combs, rubbing alcohol, vaporizers, fan belts, and refrigerators. Obituaries and death notices from the Odessa American for Sunday. David Balas Valencia Jr., age 52, passed away on November 29th. David was born in Odessa to David Balas Valencia Sr. and Emma Molinar Valencia on August 24th, 1969. Viewing to the public was held Sunday, December 5th at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home. Rosary was held 7 p.m. on December 5th at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. Monday, December 6th at St. Joseph Catholic Church. Burial will be at the Rose Hill Garden section of the Ector County Cemetery. David is preceded in death by his mother, maternal grandfather Roberto Molinar, and paternal grandparents Manuela and Augustin Portillo Valencia Sr. David will be forever remembered by his children, Brandon Ibarra, Robert Joe Valencia, and wife Amanda, David Balas Valencia III and Zulema, Gabriel Valencia and Jessica, Emelina Castellan and Albert, John Paul Valencia and Eliana Valencia, father David Balas Valencia Sr., stepmother Irma Valencia, grandmother Leonardo Bustos, siblings Amy Curry and husband James, Dana Valencia, Joseph Valencia, and wife Rebecca, Brittany Valencia, Sylvia Garza and husband Edward, grandchildren, and numerous nieces and nephews. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home. Maria Guadalupe Lupe Jaquez, 93, of Odessa, died Thursday, December 2nd in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. Wednesday, December 8th, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Rosary is to be recited Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. prior to the funeral service. Father Joseph Uecker is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Nola Yvonne Marshall, 79, of Odessa, died Monday, November 29th, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. Monday, December 6th, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Burial will follow at American Heritage Cemetery in Midland County. Pastor Mike Bartlett is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Ismael Sanchez, 72, of Odessa, died Wednesday, December 1st, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 1 p.m. on Wednesday, December 8th, at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church. The family will receive friends for visitation on Tuesday, December 7th, from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., at the funeral home with a rosary recited at 7 p.m. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, December 6th. Helping Hand. Come to helping Odessans with housing assistance. The story was written by Royal McGregor. For the last 7 years, Sonia Cantu, has helped countless families as she served as the housing assistant for the City of Odessa's community development. The main responsibilities for Cantu includes first-time homebuyer assistance program, rehabilitation program, reconstruction program, lawn mowing program for elderly or disabled people, and a mortgage, rent, and utilities program that is assisting people who were directly impacted by COVID. Cantu, who was born and raised in South Texas, said the drive to help families either buy their first home or keep a roof over their heads comes from her innate desire to help people. Quote, "We all have a heart, but you have to have a passion to help people," Cantu said. "It's a privilege to be able to help them. To be honest, out of the whole part from beginning to end, the best part is when you give them their keys, if it's a reconstruction, or whenever you tell them that you are able to help them, their faces light up, or if it's a repair that they can't afford. It's really a blessing to be able to see and be a part of it," end quote. Cantu said community development has helped many households recently with the mortgage, rent, and utilities program that is assisting people who were directly impacted by COVID. The mortgage, rent, and utilities program is to prevent homelessness. The utilities include gas, electricity, and internet. Quote, "That program has made a huge impact," Cantu said. "We had one household that was homeless because of the pandemic, and they met all of our requirements, and we were able to get those household members into an apartment. They were living out of their vehicle," end quote. Cantu said the first-time homebuyer program, which can assist up to $20,000 in down payment and up to $4,000 in closing costs, isn't as popular as the rehabilitation or reconstruction programs. As for the rehabilitation and reconstruction programs, Cantu said there are requirements which include the home must be paid off, there can't be any liens or reverse mortgages, the home also has to be located within city limits, the property has to qualify, and the household has to qualify. Additional information about any of the programs offered by the Community Development can be found on the website at tinyurl.com/2P9Y8BS6. People can also call 432-335-4820 between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. The rehabilitation program sees a wide array of problems ranging from roof leaks to gas leaks to plumbing issues. Cantu said homes that go through reconstructions make the biggest impact on her because she knows those homes wouldn't be able to be reconstructed without that program. If a reconstruction takes place, Cantu says there's a 15-year lien on the property, but it never comes over to the city. It will remain with the homeowner. There are between 2 and 4 reconstructions done per year. Cantu said the way a person who gets a reconstructed home can pay the city back is to live in the home. For every month the homeowner lives in the home, a certain amount is forgiven from that total amount. It continues to go down every day for the next 15 years. The homeowner still has to pay property taxes and homeowner insurance. As an example, Cantu said if the homeowner lives in it for 10 years and wants to sell it, they can. The remaining years that they haven't lived in the house or paid for will be paid to the city at the date of closing. Cantu said community development files a date of trust on the property. Cantu said that way the funds are protected. Quote, "People otherwise wouldn't have been able to have a brand new home if it weren't for these programs," Cantu said. "We all need help in one way or another, whether it's now in life, previously, or in the future. One day, we will all need help in one way or another," end quote. Though community development can help many people in Odessa, Cantu said she can't assist everyone, whether they don't meet the financial requirements or housing requirements, but she said she has a list of other agencies that might be able to help. Quote, I love my job. I really do, Cantu said. I enjoy doing it. I enjoy helping people. There are times that we get calls, I get calls, and they don't qualify for any of our programs. In those situations, I have my wall of information or agencies I can refer people to that might be able to help them. End quote. HIV/AIDS awareness makes a difference. The story was written by Carol A. Cates, Chief Nursing Officer, Odessa Regional Medical Center. When I think about HIV and AIDS, the public figures I think about more than any others are Freddie Mercury and Magic Johnson. Their stories show how just a few years can make a huge difference in our knowledge and understanding of a disease process. Freddie learned he was HIV positive in 1987. He converted to full-blown AIDS, and in 1991 he died. That same year, 1991, Magic Johnson was diagnosed with HIV. 30 years later, Magic is still with us, still healthy and active. He's just HIV positive and has not converted to AIDS. HIV/AIDS over the last 30-plus years really shows how we can make a difference with awareness. When COVID first arrived, it reminded me so much of how things were in healthcare with HIV at the start of my career. Testing was hard to get at first. We weren't 100% sure of what PPE to use in the hospital, so we used everything we had. The public health movements were politicized, and victims were ostracized. That is rarely the case with HIV any longer, and COVID is getting better too, but we're still not completely there yet. Awareness is several things. First is knowing how HIV is transmitted and avoiding these potential sources of infection. HIV is transmitted through blood and body fluids. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, the most common routes of HIV infection are anal or vaginal sex, or sharing needles, syringes, or other drug injection equipment, such as cookers. HIV can also be transmitted from a mother to her baby during pregnancy, birth, or breastfeeding, but this has gotten to be much rarer because the treatments have gotten so much better. Right now, the risk of transmission from a mother to her baby is less than 1%. Very rare cases of HIV transmission have been seen with oral sex, workplace injuries such as a healthcare worker receiving an accidental needle stick, medical care with receiving blood, organs, or tissues, pre-chewing food for infants, biting, deep open-mouth kissing where there is blood contamination, female-to-female transmission, and tattoos or body piercings. HIV is not transmitted by mosquitoes, ticks, or other insects. It is not transmitted through saliva, tears, or sweat. You cannot get HIV by hugging, shaking hands, sharing toilets, sharing dishes, or closed-mouth kissing with someone who is HIV positive. HIV is not transmitted through sexual activities that do not involve the exchange of body fluids, such as petting. HIV is not airborne or transmitted on surfaces, and it cannot reproduce outside a human host. The second part of awareness with HIV/AIDS is testing. The CDC recommends that everyone who is between 13 and 64 get tested for HIV at least once. The CDC recommends annual or more frequent testing for anyone who answers yes to any of the following questions. Are you a man in a non-monogamous relationship with another man? Have you had sex, anal or vaginal, with a partner who has HIV? Have you had more than one sex partner since your last HIV test. Have you injected drugs and shared needles, syringes, or other drug injection equipment? Have you exchanged sex for drugs or money? Have you been diagnosed or treated for another sexually transmitted disease? Have you had sex with someone who can answer yes to any of the above questions, or someone whose sexual history you do not know? Please discuss your testing options with your primary healthcare provider, especially if you did answer yes to any of those questions. Awareness makes sure we know how HIV or AIDS is transmitted, and we know who has HIV or AIDS with testing. When we know those things, we can literally stop HIV/AIDS with preventative measures. Because we have such good treatments now to keep HIV under control and not allowing it to convert to AIDS, testing also gives those with HIV the best possible opportunity to be like Magic Johnson and live for decades, even though they're HIV positive.
Hello, this is Michael, continuing with Inside Stories from the Odessa American, published Monday, December 6th. Arrests made in deadly shooting. The Odessa Police Department has made two arrests in connection with an early morning shooting Saturday that left one teen dead. At approximately 12:58 a.m. Saturday, officers responded to a call of a gunshot victim at Medical Center Hospital. Josiah Marufo, 19, succumbed to his injuries as a result of a gunshot wound, a news release said. The release did not say where the shooting took place. The investigation determined that Marufo was riding with several teens inside a vehicle when one of the juveniles inside the vehicle, possessing a handgun, shot him. A subsequent investigation identified the vehicle and teens involved, the release said. A 16-year-old male was charged with murder and tampering with physical evidence. A second juvenile has been charged with tampering with physical evidence and two counts of possession of stolen property, that property being two handguns. Both were transported to Ector County Youth Center, the release said. Next of kin has been identified. Anyone with information concerning this incident is encouraged to call the Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS. The investigation continues. Death notice published Monday, December 6th. San Juana Garza Janie Silvas. San Juana Garza Janie Silvas, 67, of Odessa, died Sunday, November 28th in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 2 p.m. Thursday, December 9th at Acres West 24-Hour Chapel. Pastor Christine Quinones is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
Vaccine and autoimmune conditions. Dear Good Health for Saturday. Dear Dr. Roach, would you please address vaccines and people with autoimmune conditions? My son has psoriasis and what some of his providers are calling full body inflammation. His acupuncturist has told him not to get the vaccine because it would be dangerous for him. He has hung his hat on this and refuses to get the shot. I tell him that it's probably safer to get the vaccine than COVID-19. What are your thoughts? Dr. Roach writes, psoriasis is an immune-mediated inflammatory disease that shows up as changes in the skin and joints, among other possible sites. Since we sometimes think of vaccines revving up the immune system, it is reasonable to think that they might temporarily make inflammation worse. However, the increase in immune system activity from a modern vaccine is specific to a very precise part of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, the cause of COVID-19. The risk of worsening autoimmune diseases has provided to be more theoretical than real. COVID-19 is more likely to cause severe disease in people with chronic immune and inflammatory diseases. Some of the medications used to treat psoriasis can also predispose a person to a more severe course of COVID-19. I think your advice that the vaccine is much less risky than the disease was exactly right.
Hot and cold boyfriend drops all communication. Dear Abby, I was in a relationship 9 months up until about a month ago. Without going into a lot of detail, the guy I was seeing ghosted me without any warning. We had a great conversation on a Thursday night, and Friday morning he blocked my calls, email, etc. I have no idea what happened. The night before, I accidentally FaceTimed him. My phone was in my pocket, and his son answered. I thought he had called me, but apparently I called him. Keep in mind, I'd never met his son the entire time we were together. This isn't the first time he has stopped speaking to me for reasons only he knows, but this is the first time he has gone this far. I'm trying to move past it, but I'm having a hard time. Even though we dated for only 9 months, I talked to him about everything, and we had such great times together. I want to understand why he did what he did to get some closure, but I don't know what to do. Do I need to just let this go? Signed, Ghosted Again in Alabama. Dear Ghosted Again, your ex may have been upset because until your FaceTime call, his son didn't know he was seeing anyone. I'm not a mind reader, and neither are you. You stated that this isn't the first time he's clammed up and given you the silent treatment. A relationship based on such immaturity and poor communication skills would not be healthy for you anyway. Staunch your bleeding and move on. You have my sympathy. Dear Abby, my mother, who is 85, lives under the domination of my 88-year-old father. After retirement, Dad has remained active and has taken up hobbies that fill the entire house. Mom was an award-winning photographer, but medical issues now prevent her from enjoying that activity the way she used to. She has always enjoyed music and had a keyboard she felt comfortable playing, but only when Dad was away. My father tends to be very critical, which is why I think she would only play in private. Recently, thinking Mom no longer used it, my dad donated her keyboard. He said it was taking up space. Mom recently confided to me that she was devastated when that happened. I would like to purchase another keyboard for Mom for her birthday, but I don't want her to feel betrayed. I'm not sure if I should talk with Dad about it beforehand. He's sure to ask Mom why she wasn't more vocal about her feelings in the first place, thus putting her in an uncomfortable position. Do you have any suggestions? Signed, Loving Daughter in Washington. Dear daughter, have a chat with dear old Dad. Tell him what you plan to do and why. If he expresses puzzlement about why you're doing it, point out that between the two of them, he is the dominant personality, which may be why your mother didn't speak up on her own behalf. While you're at it, suggest that the next time he has the urge to dispose of your mother's property, he should first ask how she feels about it. It may be a wake-up call he needs.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.